Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dicey Duo with
Kai
and with Rain. Awesome. So let's get into it. Welcome to our segment, Tavern Talk. So, Kai, how was your week? We haven't seen each other in a couple days. I wanted to catch up with you and see how everything's going.
It was Saturday?
Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that was a long Saturday for me.
Yeah.
I had some drama that night, too, with the roommates. But overall, it was an eventful day. Thankfully, that drama's been resolved.
That's good. Better to have less drama.
Better have less drama. No, I hate living in intense
situations,
spaces. Very uncomfortable. So I was the bigger person, and I went over and tried to meet them in the middle. So it worked out, thankfully. That's good. And since then, it's been a pretty chill week. It's Wednesday now. Yeah. As of recording this, so
usually you have your Wednesday games.
I do, yes. Yeah. I need some time to prep. I have a new arc that I'm jumping into with them. They are embarking on the Festival of Earning in a place known as the Oasis. That is in my imaginative mind, the D&D version of Vegas and Dubai. Uh-huh. If Dubai was Vegas.
If Dubai was Vegas.
If Vegas had the, like... I mean, it's expensive over there, but I assume, like, Dubai is even more expensive. So if you had, the not-so-fake luxury of Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and the, like, prestige of Dubai in a profitable place ran by a blue dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're embarking on a couple quests for their backstories, and I need to come up with those quests
and, for them for that.
And these the Festival of Earnings is all about every single competition that could happen is happening. So
jeez.
Exactly. So
what goes on in that mind of yours when you're like, because I am 100% a player, and I don't know if I'll ever be in the situation to be a DM. I have way too many things going on in my life to even think about how to build a world, I guess, for people to play in. That's really hard, right? For me, I need to find a new job.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Your week since then, you've just been job hunting?
So I was actually told that my contract is ending sooner than I thought it was going to be.
Way sooner.
Yeah. So I was supposed to end in October. I'm now ending in April. My contract ends in April now. April 18th, to be exact. So in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
As of recording this.
Yeah. So I'm scrambling to try to find a new job, and then I have my last class that I'm doing. So.
If you're able to, I guess when I was describing you to someone else, I realized I didn't know what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do, or what are you?
What I'm doing in the Navy right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a reservist.
I'm a reservist on an active contract, and I work. Yeah, I work for the Commander U.S. Pacific Fleet, Compact Fleet, and I do secret squirrel things.
Cool.
Cool. I say that just so people's like, oh, what is that? Are you a spy? Holy crap. I was like, no, dude.
No.
I sit in front of a computer all day, and I read a bunch of papers, a bunch of reportings, and then I, take data from those reports, and then I brief it to other people, more important people than me.
Oh, you're the, briefer.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm the news anchor.
Totally. That makes sense. You're the guy in the chair, literally.
I'm literally the guy in the chair.
I mean, you're missing an earpiece and telling them directly. I assume it's more meeting.
Yeah, it's more meeting like than anything.
Yeah, I think my cousin in Israel, he's like a genius. he's like high ranking. He does special things. Nice. Predominantly intelligence, I believe.
Yeah. That's the realm I live in, intel.
And he mentioned stuff like that about like meetings about what's going on and the information about that. So interesting. Okay, cool.
What I'm really doing is I'm just a research analyst.
Okay, gotcha. I was going to say, like, what does it look like to transition to a civilian position in that realm? What would a contract look like for you?
Or just a job in general.
Data analyst? Yeah.
Data analyst, a research analyst, 100%. I mean, you can apply what I do right now to anything, to any research job. So what I'm doing is I'm reading through reports. I'm researching a topic, reading through a report, gathering data and analytics, and then I'm putting that in a presentation to tell people about and to talk to people about.
How do you like that?
I actually love it. My brain loves sifting through data and, you know, creating kind of that weird murder board where the string goes here. It's like, oh, and I found this report that says this. Yeah, I love it. It's like solving a puzzle.
Very cool. A little mystery. Well, also reminds me of, like, detective, like, cop shows and stuff. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
Getting just information, little bits of this and that, and the data, and then looking at it on the grander picture, putting those lines together and going, oh, wait a minute, you're the murderer. So you're wait a minute, this is the important shit.
Yeah, I'm just not the person with a gun. I'm the person with the...
But you have gun training.
I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sick. So. You know, what else do you... I mean, yeah, what else do you really need?
Not much. After that. I mean, there's other people who do, like, other things.
I was going to say, sniper is the next thing that requires, like, deep qualification, but...
Absolutely not.
In terms of how to fire a sniper rifle, it's pretty much a rifle.
Yeah.
Very cool.
To kind of, like, tie that into, like... a D&D situation, or just like in the realm of like fantasy, right? So many plot twists in my life. It's always like that. My life is just a series of plot twists that got me to where I am.
You could say that about life.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
It's a crazy...
But you'd never know what... Yeah. It's a dice roll.
Yeah.
And you're not rolling. You're just living it.
No, you're just living it. And then the universe is just like, here you go. The universe is rolling the dice for you. That's how I feel.
It's very interesting to be a human experiencing life and then also wanting to play D&D.
Yeah.
Because...
You're just experiencing life more.
The easy answer is, like, it's not real and you can do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do, like... be a murderer or be a success
or a thief
or be successful
or be a thief, you know, and get away with it. And all you have to do is roll a dice.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's no real quote unquote no real consequence.
Right. But I mean, especially for me, I think of the psychology a lot, and because I like to play D&D in a very immersive way. And so when I'm playing as my character, and my character, as one of my favorite people, Brennelly Mulligan, likes to describe, is like a stained glass window of color, but the light shining through that is still me.
Yeah.
And so it's always you. It's just like, in what form?
In different forms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I find myself in the characters... a lot, like, more things about me than not even about the characters. Like, I find more shit out about me and, like, the way that I react. And, like, when something doesn't go well socially in game, I'm like, wait, that was me. Because I'm immersive. Yeah. I'm not there, like, it's pretty obvious when I'm, like, role playing being an asshole, or like, you know,
it's hard to be an asshole.
Intentively asshole, it's pretty easy. But when I'm just being me, and then someone thinks I'm an asshole, that's like, wait, what?
That's crazy.
I was just doing what the character was thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's me.
Yeah, and sometimes you know, you are an asshole sometimes, but that doesn't mean you're a complete asshole all the time.
No, right? Anyone can be an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I was an asshole the other day.
That's what I told my mom. It's like, Mom, no, you're not an asshole and you're not a bitch. You can be.
Yeah, you can be those things, but that is not you.
But no, everyone has the capacity to do good and bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't make them either or.
Talk about immersive. In our Saturday game a couple weeks ago, when our characters had that really, really awkwardly deep fight with each other. All because of a guy.
Well, okay, let's break it down, because...
Okay, yeah.
Okay, me and Rain are playing in, for those of you who are aware, a Strixhaven campaign of D&D. So, for those who are unaware, we're basically playing Magic High School.
Or college.
No, we're doing Magic College. Yeah. It's much different. High school being a little more immature. So, it's a little... It's interesting. I've never gone to college.
Yeah.
And I don't intend to. And I'm a little... I'm like... I probably wouldn't go and live on the dorms at my age.
You're kind of past the point at that point.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Like, well, there's a different... No, there's no age limit. You're
so
just in a different dorm.
Could a 60-year-old live in the dorms?
A 16-year-old?
A 60-year-old.
A 60-year-old? Probably in the housing... There's like different, there are dorms and then there are housing. So if a 6-year-old has a family, you get to go in the family housing.
Interesting.
Which is just like nice condos. And then if you're in a dorm, you're in a dorm with other people.
Could like a fresh 19, 20, 21-year-old going into college get a roomie of
their choice?
Of a 50 or a 40-year-old?
God, no. Absolutely not. Because that's... I don't think that, like, the college experience for the, you know, those young folks, the colleges, they kind of form it to have all the like-aged.
They group them. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to say. Cause,
you could be 18, 19. I've never seen that.
I mean, I've definitely heard of people going to college at any age, for sure, but... You're not coming to school on your first day with your dad dropping you off and having that moment, and then your roommate is like a 35-year-old dude.
No, that's not that.
It's never like that. I'm about to be 28, so I'm a little past that.
But yeah, that's.
When I shave, maybe not so much, but.
That's kind of like the.
Oh, right.
World of Strixhaven.
Yes.
College, Magic College. Kind of like Harry Potter, but...
Very coded in Harry Potter. Yeah.
There's like houses. Not houses, colleges. What is essentially
the same? So it was created by 5 dragons who each mastered a different college of...
Concentration.
Magic.
In magic.
And then created Strixhaven, and so each of them have their own vibe.
Yeah.
We'll have you start. Which is your character...
Right, yeah. I play a... What do I play? Oh, shit. Sorry, no. I play an ASMR monk.
Yeah, there it is. I was going to say, you start with an ASMR.
Is it ASMR? Is it A?
It's double A, I believe. It's not double S.
So it's...
It's ASMR.
ASMR.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I play an ASMR monk.
With ass. No.
Her name is Laris Lightfoot. And she has been a hermit all of her life, you know, doing monkly things at her parents' monastery, or her generational monastery up in the mountains. And she got this pretty cool letter from Strixhaven saying that she should go. And her grandfather was like, yeah, you need to get out, essentially.
You're a hermit?
I'm a hermit.
That's still the name, right?
Yep.
Okay.
How about you?
I play Griffo, one name only.
Griffo.
He is a halfling, but he has a gnomish name because he was taught how to read and write by some forest gnomes. Orphaned, and then ran away from the orphan, and... liked to be in the woods by himself. He's a guide,
mm-hmm.
and was interested in guiding people through the terrain that he was very accustomed to. And he similarly got a letter after a couple years in his early adulthood to go to Strixhaven and learn about the depths of magic.
And that's how Larys and Grifo met.
Yes.
And have been taking classes together, room together.
Attacked together.
Numerous times.
Well, was it first day?
First day.
Literal first day.
Mimic.
And then after that, you know, it wasn't like every week, but we kind of go through sessions as if we're going through the weeks pretty quickly, so.
Yeah, going to classes, taking, you know, really fun classes like electives. And then my favorite part of this whole campaign are the tests, because they're just as stressful as encounters.
Yes. they are literally just as stressful as dying.
Yeah, they are. Because you don't
want a death saving throw and a test check is the worst thing ever. But very fun. Adds some pizzazz to the campaign.
I love it. It's great.
But I think probably the best part about it is its relationships.
Right.
And the reason that me and Rain here had maybe our first argument
as characters,
because as people we've never had an argument before. I don't think we really disagree, not yet, on anything.
No.
Nothing has happened to make us disagree. But in game, there's been some disagreements.
About one
particular person. So in this particular game, we are allowed to build relationships with the different student NPCs.
Good and bad
relationships. So I've been doing that, both the good and the bad. Obviously, we've all been getting as many good ones as possible.
I have the most.
You have three.
I have
three.
Who's your other two?
Aurora? I have Lyr.
Lorene.
Thank you.
I'm Lyris.
I have Lorene, mm-hmm. Aurora, mm-hmm.
And
Erzmac Talk.
Mac. Mackie Mac.
He would hate you.
Talk.
No.
Erzy.
Yeah. No, he hates all nicknames.
He hates all nicknames. As a character.
But there's one character that I have a bad negative energy.
Interesting energy beef
point.
With.
Relationship point is with a elf, half elf?
Full elf
named
Kazad.
I know, I was going to say Kazad. It's not Kazad. I can't say his name. I keep fucking it up with Baldur's Gate guys.
Me too. Kandores,
and I guess maybe he was just the DM's way of like
fucking with you.
Yes,
messing we get
with
one.
Me.
Sorry.
We're not on that word, not specifically, but he's antagonized me. I don't remember what kicked it off. But there was at least the culmination of my, like, negative point was he came at me in a dance battle? Dance battle.
No, that was not, that was the
That's
second.
When I punched him in the dick.
There was something before then. It was
I feel like that was the tipping point.
The tipping point for sure. It was the, when we fought the mimic. Because he's in
He wasn't
charge.
There.
He was, yeah, because he was the first year with us.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was is that he, a part of the LARPing club...
Yes, like...
Did a whole... No, yeah. LARPing club. Okay. Did a whole, like...
Skit
live action roleplay of our fight with the mimic.
Right.
And he played you.
He portrayed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like what he said. He had like a funny bardic quote that was like
has something to do with
it. It was
a height thing, in Grifo being a halfling.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a height thing, but it was definitely something against Grifo.
And you took it as a negative.
I took it negatively and yeah, didn't understand
which
it.
Which is a choice.
I'm also role playing this character as if he kind of was like kind of a hermit, kind of mm-hmm. almost. I'm playing more hermited than Lyris, in my opinion, just because he left the orphanage because he was not like the other kids, and then just spent a lot of his time being admired by the people that guided him.
He was emo, Griffo. I'm not like everybody else, Mom.
He just was a little halfling, and the small one is sort of classic, and then very early was like, I'm just gonna go in the woods and be by myself. Or just like, oh, not even be by myself, but just be away from other people.
Yeah.
But that suck.
So,
and guide people.
Yeah. And then, you know,
he doesn't get social things. And
social
he was portrayed in a way he didn't like by a stranger,
he took it negatively.
Yeah. That's what started it. Then there was like a genuine rap battle, dance battle challenge.
Yeah.
And I just took it badly.
Yeah. You punched him in.
He said something. He pelvic thrusted at me or something.
Absolutely.
When I saw the pelvic thrust, I was like, great, he's leaving himself open. And I'm a halfling, so it's kind of right there.
And this, and he was like, ooh. And everybody was like, ooh.
Yeah, it was not a good look for Griffo. No. So I have beef with this guy. But what does Lyris go ahead and do?
Between, you know, the first encounter and then that really tipping point encounter.
In between all my negative moments with Kandoris.
Yeah. Between all the... meta, right?
Yeah, meta talk.
Rain was me. I was, like, looking at all these characters like boons and banes. Because if you have a good point, you get a boon. And if you have a bad point, you get a bane. And so I was...
Two points, but yes.
Yeah.
If each of these...
It's 2 points.
NPCs have...
2 points, good or bad.
Passive effects that, depending on the depth of your relationship, good or bad, can have effect on it. For instance, Urzmak Talk will always let you
study with him if you don't have anybody to study with.
If not him, someone will fill in for him as a study partner.
So you will always have somebody to test with or to study with.
Lorene's is one of the best ones, and I haven't even freaking used it.
What is it?
Her and her classmates can make a distraction for us on campus. But every time I've we've just been so secretive. Like every encounter has been public attacking us and everyone's scattering.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole reason for us to run away with a distraction. And then sneaking in a way where we don't want to be seen by anyone, even the students. So there's never been a moment Lorene, smoke bomb.
Because, and then does she just magically appear like
Batman?
Yeah,
that's the other part. It's how do I just
describe that?
I guess
happening.
I role play that, I see a student and, yo, I need a distraction.
And then they're always willing to help. Yeah,
but anyway, she was boon farming.
I was totally boon farming. We needed that. He has extra knowledge in aberration, monstrosities, and oozes. And I was like, yeah, we need that. But it came in handy, all right? It did.
Far after you had, acquired it.
I was so
surprised.
I learned a little bit about him, and he came from a very poor family, and he's trying to do good for his, for his parents, and he's Korean, apparently.
He likes pickles.
He likes kimchi. Yeah.
Is it kimchi?
Kimchi, yeah. He liked kimchi.
Gotcha.
And
it wasn't just pickles? Am I the pickle guy?
You're the pickle guy. Okay. Yeah. And
It's funny. In my own meta talk, I got the idea of pickling and fermenting, right? I think that's what pickling, whatever. Kimchiing from reading Kandoris.
Exactly. So it was
and trying to reach out, and then guess what? The fucker didn't do reciprocate. So I made a whole garden of pickles and kimchi for someone who didn't give a shit. And then in the same moment, so that was the other thing. Because I've had all these moments, you're boon farming, you're starting to, I'm jumbling my words. The first interaction between Lyris and Candora's to start the process of getting was his like, spoon hey, was because do you of Griffo. Go? You was go make because some of Griffo.
Yeah, exactly.
And he fully and rejected everything Griffo
to my advantage
was doing, and then was like, "But Lyris," and I was just yeah. really turned off because it turned into like me trying to actively wingman, and then him going like, "Yeah, okay, buddy."
But you know the running joke yeah, in the game is that. Candora's is actually really crushing hard over Griffo, and
that the is only, the meme. I think it's super
the only way the only way that Candora's has been successfully been able to get Griffo's attention is to make fun of him or to do something that
is he not true. Like. It is simply the only way he has what ever interacted with me.
What does a 6-year-old do to what another 6-year-old that they like?
We are in college.
It doesn't matter.
By getting to know
Candora's, he was a very immature
mm-hmm.
character.
You're comparing him like, to a 6-year-old.
I'm comparing to a teenager. He was pretty young too, by the way. Getting his backstory.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask Candora's when we get back into the game Saturday if he likes you.
Also, by the way. Like you denied this as it went on, but initially, which your character is already in like a relationship.
Oh, a 3-year relationship with another character. Yeah.
Well, 3 years now, but like at the time, maybe it was second year, like yeah. halfway through second year. So you'd only been together for a bit. You know, as the DM as the DM said, all the NPCs are both pansexual and polyamorous. Yeah. So you can go full harem.
Yeah. And I have a harem. I have a complete harem. Okay,
you're saying that but then you've also denied it where Candora's came into the picture very flirty and I didn't like that.
But then I stopped it. And I was like, "Hey buddy, come here." Oh.
Yeah, I treat him like my little brother. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, you're friend zoning him?
I friend zoned him, yeah.
You boon farmer. You're such a fucking boon farmer. Anyway.
Sorry.
So, okay. Where did the argument, the whole point of bringing this up,
oh, yeah.
start? Was it the punch?
It was no. the...
Oh, wait. The bar?
It... Oh, God.
No, I know I stormed off to the garden. We have a garden, my pickle garden. In the game, so I know I stormed off there, and then we had the argument in the garden.
Oh, it was to recruit him to be a part of our team for the Rose Quidditch match. I don't forget what it is, but
you
like
were trying to do that, but there was something else. Was he? It wasn't the duel moment because you defused the duel that happened after. So what was it? Goodness,
it was having something to do with Candora's. Like joining a group where you not liking him joining our group and me pushing for him to be a part of the group, essentially what it is. And you're like, if you're going to be with Candora's or like have him be around, I don't want any part of him. That means you either pick him or me.
Was it the rap battle? Was it the punching in the dick
I was trying to diffuse it between you. I was trying to make friendly for both of you.
I punched him and I ran away.
Yeah. And then I went to him first, and I was like, "Hey, you gotta fix it with him, man."
You went to Candora's first,
yeah. He was like, "Well, that wasn't me, dude." I was like, "Yeah, it was." You went, James you got into his face
off when he does that.
I know, and I also think it's like a James thing. He wants to piss you off.
No, of course it is. Of course.
And then I went to Lyris went over to Griffo and was like, "Hey, he wants to apologize. He said so." And he was like, "No, you're pressuring him to do it. You know, if you want him around."
Which meta, like, Kai was sitting right there. Yeah, he did not. He did not want to apologize. He was like, "I'm not going to apologize." Candora's was not going to apologize.
He was for me. Lyris.
Exactly. For Lyris. And then you came to me saying he was going to do it genuinely, and that was false. And I knew it was going to be false. It was just to make it amicable.
But that's the that was the root of the argument. We're having it right now.
No, we had a true... What's the... Not disagreement. Like a impasse.
Yeah.
Because I was Griffo, at least, especially in that emotional state, was not going to deal with him. Thought he was like... genuinely messing with him in a intentful way.
Yeah.
And Lyris, as his like one and few friends he's ever made,
he felt like Lyris was like choosing,
choosing
somebody else over him.
And
I was just trying to have a truce when happen.
Griffo has always been the victim in the like, or at least like the second. He's always been the reactor in these interactions with Kandoris. He's just reacting to these dude.
And that was such
a... So if he wants me, he's got to do much better.
You know what? Yeah. I'll have a talk with Kandoris.
But I don't want his freaking boon. I've got three beloveds. He can buzz off.
I have a harem between myself, Grayson, and Javanish, who is an Owlin.
Javanish is not in that.
Yeah, like, he is. Oh, yeah. Oh.
So
Kandoris isn't, so but there's feathers Javanish in your bedroom? Is in the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
He's going,
okay.
Who? Who next?
Who's next? You're terrible. Yeah. Me and Lorena are in the pool. Anyway. goodness. No, I Griffo is not polyamorous. He is
biggest fight. I think I would say like quote unquote fight.
Well, it was interesting because we were having that in-game argument and it reaching felt real. No, but it was real because we're both role playing immersively.
Yeah.
And so Griffo and Kai did not want to deal with Kandoris, and you wanted his fucking boon. So we were at a little impasse where you were like, bitch, I want his boon. But role-playing it through Lyris and couldn't get anywhere with it.
I still
And I was just being simply logical and role-playing the character. And
that got really serious, and everybody felt a little really tense.
Everyone got uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable.
And then we said, we'll never do that again.
Yeah.
At least for more than a minute.
It won't be as long as it was.
It was like 10 minutes?
No, it was not 10 minutes. It was more
too long. It was more than five.
No, I guess.
It was like close to 10. So we had to like be like, okay, we're stopped. I think we stopped after that.
Yeah, that was a plot twist in our actual game.
Truly. Now we know about the Toad Man. Anyway, what do we got next, Rain?
Yeah, I wanted to come to you with a segment called The Moral Dilemma. All right? So,
goodness.
Let me set the scene.
My video game is all over again.
Let me set the scene.
Okay. I'm closing my eyes.
Your party arrives at a small village at the edge of a dark, cursed forest.
I'm going to roleplay myself, by the way.
Okay.
Just for context. I need the context.
The townsfolk are in a state of panic. Several families of refugees have arrived, claiming they have escaped a war-torn kingdom. They're exhausted, malnourished, and begging for shelter. However, the village elders warn the party that a dark presence follows the refugees. As those who have given them shelter before have fallen ill and died under some mysterious circumstance. So, you play as one of the village leaders. Will you help the refugees despite the risk of the unknown curse? Will you turn them away, condemning them to the dangers of the forest? Or will you investigate the source of the curse?
Ooh.
No matter the choice, consequences will unfold.
Oh, goodness.
So what do you do, man?
I think, okay. Right. I think I thought of that last little thing as it was, because the consequences are consequences. They're going to come anyway. So I think, if I'm being fair, which at least as Kai, since I'm role-playing as me, if I'm playing, like, just you.
Like, yeah, we're not saying characters.
Or a character like me.
We're saying it you is, as a person.
If I'm a leader, I'm giving them some time. I'm giving them a night. I'm giving them two nights to monitor what's going on.
So you're setting a test?
Yeah, I'm testing.
You're gonna put a focus group out there?
then sure. Mm-hmm. But as you said, people who give them prolonged care seem to
fall ill
and the like. So
it's very pragmatic of you.
Isn't this like, it's just, it's reminding me of like what I think the rumors of gypsies used to be. Am I wrong? Right? Yeah. Like these, yeah, anyway. But yeah, I think I would let them stay for a time.
Mm-hmm.
But with the knowledge, which I assume my character knows, of all of this, like the risk of mm-hmm. keeping them around, would take steps to figure it out. And if not, send them away.
Yeah.
And eat the consequences of letting them stay for the time. Because my people would probably, I wouldn't be the best leader if I let, I wouldn't be the best person. I guess I wouldn't necessarily be the best leader, but I feel like my people would respect me more if I was merciful. Or, I don't know, compassionate, that's the word. Merciful. Compassionate to strangers.
Sometimes not a lot of people are open to compassion. Sometimes a lot of people are easy to close their doors to people in need.
Well,
which is like a very like a now thing that is happening, you know? Quickly people are easy.
It's definitely,
you know, to close their doors.
It's a person by person, but I would definitely say the ratio is very high in the like negative for sure. It's just risk, you know. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where things have not gone well for people historically when they trust strangers.
Yeah. Strangers suck. Stranger danger,
stranger
guys.
Stranger danger. So
putting the benefit of it,
I
want to
give strangers the benefit of the like.
Like, that's scary, though. That's scary. I mean, especially, like, mm-hmm. coming from me, who I'm like, you know, I'm a mom and, you know, trusting somebody. Female. Yeah, and a female? Come on. I have no trust at that point.
Several layers.
There's no trust.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what I am, I only...
Protecting my family is 100% the big thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You can really only trust people as far as you can throw them.
Yeah. I mean...
I could throw you a couple feet.
Jesus Christ.
Not really.
So you could trust me that much?
That far, yeah, exactly. And some people, a couple
You heard it here, guys. He's willing to throw a small-statured Asian woman.
Yes.
As far as he can.
As far. And then I'll trust you that far. But no, I mean, media, culture, overpopulation, all factors mm-hmm. in reasons why people do the things they do to survive.
I think that's all that it is. It's survival.
Survival.
I mean, we've made it this long in the year 2025.
And not even like survival when it comes, obviously survival when it comes down to direness, but I think people will go to negative and bad choices to keep the lives they want to achieve.
But I also think because of 2020 and COVID, the whole COVID situation, everybody has been in a constant state of self-preservation.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I don't think it's been 5 years, and I don't think anybody has been willing to like actually go outside their, you know, quote unquote bubble.
Sure. No,
they're figuratively staying 6 feet away on purpose.
So it's interesting. I have a little thought on this that I've been thinking about it since I got really into astrology.
I love astrology. I love the universe. I feel 100% connected to the universe all the fucking time. Like, I feel it in my body.
That's good.
Yeah.
Especially as an earth sign, normally. Maybe not normally. Maybe it's easier for some. For me, I feel like I'm too grounded, you know? Could use some spiritual essence.
I ask for guidance all the time. I meditate every day.
That's good. I should probably do that. What was I gonna...
Astrology.
Oh, right. So, we, according to astrologists,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm not mistaken, have entered around the time of 2019, 2020, 2021, the age of Aquarius.
It's the age of Aquarius.
After leaving the age of Pisces. So the age is about 2,000 years. So fun thing about the age of Pisces, as you know, it's a fish.
Yeah.
And slippery, if you know anything about Pisces, it's sort of like dreamy, dream realm. They kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
And they go with what the where the currents take them. And don't like to think about... they're just like dreamers. They're very dreamy. Yeah. And so the whole world for the last 2,000 years has been in this age of Pisces. Dream state. And it's very interesting because what religion has had a fish bumper sticker for the last 2,000 years and has their name written on the age?
El Cristo, Jesus Cristo.
Jesus Cristo.
Christians.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Christians, yeah. The fish.
Mm-hmm. Aletheia.
I'm sure you've seen. So, I believe that has a lot to do with it as well. This, we've been like asleep, in theory. And so now with the age of Aquarius, it's...
We're awake.
Well, do you know what the Aquarius is?
No.
It's a dude with a pot of water pouring the water out.
Son of a bitch.
And in astrology, water means emotion.
I don't like astrology water. Put it back in the pot.
It's pretty rough. The Aquarius is all about dumping that shit. So he's about detachment. So the age of Aquarius is kind of like...
So we're detaching.
We are.
We're detaching from reality.
Which you not, I mean, maybe reality, but... What you may notice with everything especially going on right now is all of the old systems are being uprooted. Everything's being new.
Yeah.
In my head, when I first got into astrology, Aquarius, to me, their best word, because my best friend is an Aquarius, the best word that I represent them for is rebel, rebellion.
Yeah.
They take what is the status quo and they chuck it out the window. They take what has been in that pot...
Yeah.
And they dump it without a single care. They're air signs. So, that is the age we will be in for the next 2,000 years.
I don't like that. That seems like a lot.
It sounds pretty scary. So, what I think is everyone has been in their little safe
bubble
lakes
yep.
of water
yep.
in the age of Pisces.
Now they're
and now that water's
out.
Being literally dumped.
Yeah, you're being forced out of your homes, guys. And nobody wants to. And that's why everybody yep. is not, oh God, no.
So, what I will mainly be seeing, and the main point and perspective that I like to keep, especially with how scary that could be, is things are going to be restructured. We're seeing it today in America. We're seeing it in the culture. We're seeing it in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So you just got to, so... Pro tip for our listeners and for you, Rain, just mind your P's and Q's. Make sure you have freaking receipts.
Yeah.
Make sure you have the evidence to back your claims.
Yeah.
Anything that you are half-assing or the things that you think you know, recheck them. Like, you have to quadruple check everything because everything we once knew is being
crashed,
thrown out. With the old water.
Hey, out with the old and with the new, and it doesn't matter if you like it or not.
Literally. So I think...
If it's one thing the military has taught me, is you need a paper trail. Receipts, man.
Receipts, man.
And also CC, the CC, if they're not replying back to you.
There you go.
Reply, forward, CC.
Pro tip for the military people. So yeah. Be careful out there. Another pro tip, especially with the age of Aquarius and keeping your receipts and making sure you're minding your P's and Q's, it's really hard to mind your P's and Q's, to be on top of literally everything. So don't be afraid to say, I don't know.
Or I need help.
Or I need help. Don't be afraid to admit things. I think a lot of people...
They take it as a weakness, and I don't think a lot of people...
It's
an ego thing, too.
Yeah. It's maybe in media, it's not something...
People don't like being seen as meek and weak.
No, and...
And wanting
expressing emotion as a Taurus can sometimes be very scary. And you don't want other people to think wrong. Wrong. The wrong thing. You don't want to... I especially, as Kai, never want to express something that
push
I'm not trying to express.
Way.
You know, the wrong thing. Yeah. And so, just be honest. Like, not everyone's perfect. Literally, the, like, people we admire are, like, flawed.
Yeah.
And we like it.
It's hard being honest with yourself.
It's very hard. You gotta, like...
I talk to myself a lot. I don't know if, like, a lot of people do that, but, like, in the morning, if it's just me and I go, God, I go, man, Rain.
I talk to myself.
You did a really stupid thing yesterday. Do better.
I do it when I'm having a bad time where, like, my inner dialogue is just so bad I, like, need it to be something else.
Yeah.
Like, I have to tell my... Or I talk to myself when I'm, like, crying.
You're okay. Well, don't you? I know it's okay.
No, it's like the negative. It's like look. It's like there's like a visual dialogue.
Having,
I'm like looking at myself. Like,
are you
stop.
Having like your own, you know, existential moral dilemma? You like to say?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I as a Taurus, I'm sure you can understand this. Emotions can be very powerful.
No. Yeah, we feel more than the typical. It's not that I hate it.
It's
just,
intense.
It's intense. And then when you get a feeling of somebody seeing you and then you're just like, oh, it's so intense, and then you don't know where to freaking just like put that energy or that emotion into it, you can come out of aggression, implode.
Yeah.
You implode though too sometimes, and you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And that's hard because then you're trying to explain these emotions to somebody else and they just don't get it. It's just like, you know what? No, it's fine. I will deal with myself.
Yeah.
I will be my own self-therapist.
That's why I like to find other Tauruses, because we all get it.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just bulls. We're big, we're heavy, we're powerful. And when those emotions come, it's got the momentum of a pole going right at that matador, you know? So you gotta, it's really about being able to manage the momentum.
It's hard to. That's why we play
Very
D&D.
to escape it all. And then as we just said, sometimes we argue. Sometimes the
and then
frustrations
we
of
argue.
The world happen in the game.
And then you're, yeah. It happens too
I like
often.
It, by the way, I liked it. I liked that our game was able to get to such a role play place that an argument was even
I think that
possible.
Was the most intense.
Because, like, D&D. Arguments or disagreements in D&D can always... can kind of be, like, overshadowed. Where it's like, ooh, a disagreement. We're not going to address this.
Yeah.
And then maybe someone's actions later on make up for it. And now we can be friends again.
Yeah.
But it's rarely, like, how we did it. Where there was
a genuine argument.
Yeah.
And
then
we
the next
came
session,
out...
we were, like, not friends. Not friends.
We weren't talking,
like,
to each other for a while.
We had...
At least in-game.
Yeah, we had like a, what was it, Mage Tower to do, and
that's a Quidditch match.
Our own Quidditch match. We had Mage Tower game to do, and we were all on a team together, and Griffo was debating
whether or not he would play.
Yeah. And then of all people, like, due to absence, Torin, or like, yeah, I think like the player wasn't there the session before, so when she showed up, the NPCs like invited her and
she was like, of course.
And then we were
like,
wait,
fine. We're like,
so
down
you're not
going to
join us?
Still.
You,
Jesus.
And then what did we have?
I recruited Javanish.
We had
Drazimir. We had Fidget, Drazimir. Which is our
one of the players.
Sorcerer. We had
Malrakis. Did we have
myself, you, and Javanish? And we needed six people.
Gotcha. We didn't have the rogue.
No.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then our druid in our party was on the other team.
it was funny.
But yeah. I got to fight Kandoris. And you're lucky I didn't kill him 2 sessions ago. But anyway, that's another story time.
I think that is a great place.
Totally.
So, one thing to take away from our conversation today would be what, Kai?
Mind your P's and Q's. Be yourself and honest. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to express how you're feeling in the moment.
Yep.
Have compassion. That's me. Nice. For this week.
Awesome.
You?
Whatever life throws at you, dodge if you can. I'm kidding now. Whatever life throws...
That's good.
Whatever life throws at you, just embrace it. You know?
There's
not much you can do.
Right? Very true.
You can dodge it. And you can
embrace it. And you'd miss it. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. You'd never know, though.
Yeah. And just be grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful.
Through gratification, we can find sustainable happiness.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Signing off.
Toodaloo.